Hello and welcome to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb. My name is Karen Morton and I'm so glad you could be with me today because we're going to be talking about what really belongs in a great British picnic. And if you could pack one, what would you have in it? Well, have no fear because we're going to have some suggestions from the wonderful Joanna Hunter, who started and founded the award-winning bakery Piglet's Pantry. We're going to be taking a look at just what are some of the nation's favourites, but also what is up and coming with a little twist in summertime magic from Joanna. Well, we're also hopefully going to be opening up the doors to many restaurants where we can go inside, of course, and that is very exciting. And there's one that is opening its doors for the very first time in Brighton, and I'm going to be excited to introduce you to that. And the founder, and you will know him of course from the Salt Room and also from the Coal Shed on the show today. And because we're going to have that summery feel, it is May festival time. It's also my birthday month. If it's yours, happy birthday to you. We're going to have more music on the show than we normally have, just to thread through. So I hope that as well as cooking, you're going to be dancing as well. Welcome to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb, sponsored by Brighton Gin. If you have not had Brighton Gin, you are missing out. So make sure the next time you go to a bar that you order one with a twist of orange. That is, of course, unless you're having the Seaside Strength. That is my all-time favourite. And then you have a little twist of lime in that. Now, you can go along and find out more about Brighton Gin by going to the website, which, of course, all you have to do is look up Brighton Gin online. And is Brighton Gin made in Brighton, you might ask? Of course it is. It's Brighton by name. It's Brighton handmade on the seafront, on the coastal road in Brighton. And if you would like to go along and see how Brighton Gin is made, you can go on a tour and you get to drink gin as well as see how it's made. It's really cool. I've been there. I've done it. Worn the t-shirt, the apron as well, and I have had the cocktails. So to find out more about cocktails suggested by Brighton Gin, Brighton Tours, and indeed how to order online, or maybe to find out where you can go and drink Brighton Gin, then go along and find them online.
Yeah, you got that yummy, yum, that yum. Watch the sunset, kinda, yeah, yeah. Rolling eyes back in my head, make my toes curl, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got that yummy, yum, that yummy, yum, that yummy, yummy. Yeah, you got that yummy, yum, that yummy. I'm compromised. You're incriminating, no disguise. And you ain't never running low on supplies. 50-50 love the way you split it. 100 racks on me, spin it, babe. Light a magic, get lit it, babe. The jet set, watch the sunset, kinda. Yeah, yeah. Rolling eyes back in my head, make my toes curl, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
you got that yummy, yum, that yum. On with a smile on my face.
I'm a lady, that you are my lady. You got the yum, 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 yum.
You got the yum, yum, yum. Whoa. Whoa. Yeah, you got that yummy, yum, the yum.
Justin Bieber and Yummy. And I hope that you're going to find everything yummy on the show today. And first up, we're going to be taking a look at picnics. In normal times, of course, us Brits have over 94 million picnics every year. But with one in four of us planning a staycation this summer, that number is expected to increase dramatically. In fact, 20% admitted that due to the lockdown, they will never dismiss the simple pleasure of a picnic again. Staycations are definitely in and restrictions are out. Sales of camper vans have soared and supermarkets are reporting record sales of finger food. So, with alfresco dining on trend this summer, what makes the perfect picnic? Well, a study found that 41% of us still prefer traditional items such as cold meats and Scotch eggs. Sandwiches also stood the test of time, with 58% believing they will always have a place in our hampers. But that's not to say we can't go wild and include staples such as Prosecco, olives, hummus, my favourite, lots of dips, and even sushi in a picnic. Oh yes, it's all happening. Well, enjoying a picnic in Britain's parks and woodlands is not only great fun, but it's vital for our business. A terrible year saw thousands of businesses, as we so well know, close. And we are hoping that not only can we eat in restaurants, outside restaurants, but also eating out with friends and family in parks and enjoying picnics. Now, whether you make your own or you have provided for you, well, why not? It's all possible. And that's why I wanted to catch up and find out from Joanna Hunter, who is the founder of Piglet's Pantry, who is an expert in finger foods, picnics, and all things entertaining. Since the age of five, Joanna started baking in the kitchen with her grandma, and she was smitten with the passion for food. After achieving her management diploma in hotel and catering, she took evening courses for 4 years with a wonderful Scottish baker named Mr. Fury to master the art of pastry, baking and patisserie. She has since featured on the Great British Menu with Heston Blumenthal, where she dined on a pudding 100 feet in the air on a crane above London. Well, I never. She has won 35 British Pie Awards, being first, second and third best in place pie for football stadiums, winner of the Stadium Hospitality Awards, winner of the Stadium Business Awards, South England Prestige Award winner. And oh my gosh, it just, the accolades go on and on. She regularly features the Brighton Hove Albion and, of course, on Radio Reverb's Albion Roar, as well as BBC Radio Sussex. And I'm delighted that Joanna's going to join me here on the Food and Drink Show. And the first thing I wanted to know, I mean, as a master baker and pie maker, what is her point of difference at Piglet's Pantry?
I think our point of difference is we're constantly innovating. So we're constantly looking for the next thing, the next idea. the next food, the next thing that's going on in the world. And we're constantly, as a team, we're always looking to create something new, because that's what makes us tick, really, as chefs. So I would say that's probably one of our best qualities, is that we're always constantly on the go and looking for new ideas and looking to bring it into our food and out into the wider world, really.
Oh, lovely. And thinking about that, you know, what have you found that has been most exciting you with regards to innovation and foods that you're looking to produce from your kitchens?
So more recently, we've been working on a new garden box. So we've been doing afternoon teas this year. So that's been kind of quite exciting for us. So we've gone from like the sort of events world, which obviously fell off a cliff in March last year. And we've reinvented ourselves, and we've been putting out afternoon teas around the UK, which has been extremely successful. And because of that, we've been constantly looking at different ideas for that. So at the moment, our focus, I suppose, is on looking at how we can bring the Great British Picnic and bring new ideas to that food and keep it exciting. So our box at the moment is including things like we've got a lemon and basil. So we're playing with herbs at the moment. And we've got a lemon and basil cake going out with really lovely lemon verbena, and it's got some beautiful basil gel on the top, which is really sort of concentrated basil, so you get that lovely lemon basil fresh flavour, which is quite different. Alongside that, just to complement that on the other side, for those chocolate lovers out there, we've got a lovely Guinness cake. So we've made this really dense chocolate Guinness cake, and on top of that, we've designed a little garden. So we've made a little chocolate soil, a lovely chocolate cream cheese topping, which is unusual, so very sort of light and not quite so heavy as some of the buttercream might be. And that's got some beautifully designed little cabbage leaves made out of chocolate, carrots made out of chocolate we've had made for ourselves, and some little daisies. So you've got a whole little garden idea going on top. So the idea being is that you're thinking about the garden when you're eating it, with lovely ingredients like the basils and beetroots and things like that. And then on top, you've got the kind of whole design of the garden. So it's an inside out idea. So when we look at something, we try and include all of the elements: visual, smell, taste, the whole bit, really.
Sounds fantastic. And being an Irish girl, of course, the Guinness cake is always popular, you know, in my neck of the woods.
I think you'd like that one.
I think it would. Now, I just love the whole idea about the picnics. And, you know, because we are for some time going to be working in numbers of six, really. And I have a big birthday in May, and I'm looking at the power of six. So I'm making it exciting so that every gathering, I'm part of the conversation. So rather than having a huge big party, which I'm not able to do, and I'm looking at how can I create some fun and interesting things. So for my birthday, I'm wanting to have some kind of a picnic. So what would you pack for me in my picnic hamper?
Well, definitely the Guinness cake, now you've mentioned it. But I think you'd want some of our beautiful scones, because we've been making those forever. It's a recipe since I was 16 years old. So some really nice fluffy vanilla scones, lots of lashings of the cream and the jam to go with that. So lovely clotted cream and jam to go with that. I'd definitely say some nice tarts. You've got lovely spring tarts coming through with spring onion and chives, and maybe the beetroot and goat's cheese tarts as well, because that's quite unusual for the summer. We also do a really lovely goat's cheese and figgy jam one, which is nice too. So some tarts, obviously sausage rolls. Why would you not have sausage rolls? So I definitely say some of the sausage rolls in there. And there's a lovely like sort of tear and share sausage roll we're doing at the moment with chutneys in the middle, which is great fun for six people. So you can, you know, fight over the last piece of sausage roll. I think some good quality Scotch eggs. We've got a nice one with spinach and herb panko and parmesan crumb, which is amazing. We also do a real big plant-based range. So we've got a vegan afternoon tea and a vegetarian afternoon tea, so you can cater for everybody. So that's always good. I think definitely some cakes. We do a lovely bubble cake. So if it's your birthday, I think maybe a special loaf cake or a bubble cake to go with that, with a nice little topper on, so you can share that too as well. I've got to have some cake there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely some fizz, champagne, fizz, Prosecco, or some really nice cocktails. There's some lots of unusual cocktails coming through, like lemongrass and some really fresh flavours coming through. So I think definitely need some of those in there. So all of that, a good blanket and some sun cream.
Oh, listen, I tell you what, I'm completely sold. So I am definitely going to come to you now for my picnic birthday. And can I just ask you, when it's coming to the, I love beetroot and I just love a tart. And, I'm, you know, the savoury element is also important to me. But what would be an alternative to goat cheese in your tarts? Because that's not something that a goat's cheese just doesn't like me, actually. So if I was to have an alternative, what would you offer?
So I would probably look at the spring tart, which is it's got vintage cheddar. It's got a really gorgeous English vintage cheddar in it, and lots of fresh spring veg and spring herbs in it. So that's quite nice too. Or a traditional quiche Lorraine, so ham hock, and again, good quality vintage cheddar in there. That would also be a nice alternative. So any of those really. And of course, the vegan tart. I mean, the vegan tart, let's not make that a sort of like a small thing. That's got beautiful deviled mushrooms in it. That's actually quite nice too.
Mm. I think having the mix there, because as you said, you know, when we separate foods out from being, you know, vegetarian, vegan and sort of meat eating, but there's so just nice, delicious food, isn't it, with fresh ingredients. And I love the way that you're bringing out the herbs there too, because again, that is just so lovely and a big passion of mine as well too. So real summery feel coming out there. And the way you described as well too, the Guinness cake with the garden on top is just delightful. Now, for anyone wanting to organise a picnic where everything is catered for there by you, how does it work from order through to delivery?
So it's really simple. If you want to order our food and do your own picnics in your groups of six in the garden, you can order directly from us at www.piggotspantry.co.uk. Everything that we're doing is currently on the website, so it's easy to order and see. There's also a contact page if you need us to do any more than we're currently offering there. And if you want to kind of make it a bit more of an elaborate party, we'd be happy to help with those inquiries too. So as we start to come out of lockdown, if there's anything else people want, then we'd be more than happy to talk to people.
Oh, that just sounds great, Juliet. And just looking ahead, I mean, we are coming out of COVID and you know, my sympathies to you, because anyone in the hospitality trade, it's been so hard and you've had to be so inventive. There's two things, really. Number one, how has COVID been for you? I mean, have you just not stopped and it's been exciting, or have there been some really scary moments?
I think the only scary moment was when, obviously, before we were serving 70 large events around the UK. So our normal life would be serving, you know, Brighton Hove Albion, Southampton, Leicester, all the football clubs, the tennis, the, you know, Goodwood coming up. So it would have been a whole range of different venues that we would have supported. And I suppose March was the real sort of, you know, shocker when we woke up to we're not going to be doing that anymore. And I suppose that was the only time when I really was worried about the business. First time sort of ever, really. But then, you know, we're not ones to sit around. So we dusted ourselves down after 24 hours and set up the website and started to reinvent, you know, online bakery. We decided there wasn't a good afternoon tea out there. So we started developing that. And the rest sort of is history, really. I mean, we haven't stopped. So for us, lockdown has been manic. And I almost sort of feel a little embarrassed saying it, really. But we've literally kind of built a whole new company off the back of it. And now we're looking to sort of get a bigger site and put the two back together, ready for the event season to start all over again. So it's been an exciting time, a difficult time. But alongside that, we've, you know, supported people. We've got 50% discounts in the NHS, which is still running. We've been doing lots of projects with a home nurse. We've supported the local Rocking Horse Appeal because they were having some difficult times. So it's been a real inclusive year as well. It's not just about us doing well. It's about us doing well and trying to support as many people as we can along the way.
And all of that sounds great. And looking ahead to the future, I mean, I'm quite excited about, in the sort of hospitality and food industry, that there's going to be this sort of new hybrid model. You've mentioned there about amalgamating both your services on the website. Do you see the future being that mix of, you know, sort of major events and people having that sort of takeaway element to create your own event?
I think so, yes. I don't think the online market is going anywhere anytime soon. I think we've all discovered new ways of actually buying things that we hadn't realised that were out there. So I don't envisage it's going to change. I think there will be this hybrid model, though, where we maybe help and create more events in people's homes when we're allowed to do so. So I do see that the online market will continue. We'll have a hybrid in the middle of the two, and we'll continue to serve our large events as well. So it's quite a lot to think about when you think about it like that. But certainly the mainstay of all of that is good quality, innovative food, which is what we're known for.
Oh, that sounds great. And just the final point that I'd love to ask you, if you were to take three food ingredients for this summer, OK, coming out, having our picnics, what do you think is really key and bursting with flavours that you're excited about cooking with?
Oh, that's such a difficult question.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
It's a hard one. For me, definitely the herbs. That's something I'm going to be doing more with. And I think the twist of the herbs with the fresh berries, obviously summer is full of fresh berries. So looking at using herbs and fresh berries and, you know, looking at our local ingredients in our local world. So I definitely will be looking at that. So that's more of that to come, really. Chocolate for me is a big thing. So I'm learning to use different types of chocolate. We've discovered that you can buy a chocolate that's not chocolate, that's got mostly cocoa butter and a high percentage of fruit. So you can buy this fruit chocolate, which has got raspberries and strawberries, and it's pretty amazing. So I'm looking to incorporate some of that into this fruit and herbs. So for me, fruit, herbs, chocolate. There you go. Three things.
Mango pops on a summer's day makes me feel like I'm gonna live forever. I don't want this to go away. I don't want this to change. Who you gonna ask anyway? Who you gonna ask anyway?
Thank you.
You are listening to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb, and that was simply a great little tune for summer, isn't it? A real picnic tune, I think, Mango Pops. And before that, we heard from Joanna Hunter from Piglet's Pantry, all about picnics. And, I don't know, she was making my tummy rumble with some of the delights from her pantry. So from picnics in the park, on the beach, we are actually going indoors this time to join a restaurateur who is no stranger to the Brighton scene, having started his life in music and then getting bitten by the bug of bars and restaurants. He brought us none other than the Coal Shed and the Salt Room. But there's a new kid on the block, and we are going to hear more about that now. Let's catch up with Raz Halalat.
Hello.
Good morning. Is that Raz?
It is, yes. Hello.
Hi, it's Karen here from Radio Reverb.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good, good, good. So, Raz, here we are in the merry month of May. It's all getting very exciting because not only have venues of hospitality been able to open their doors, well, should we say they're outdoors to us, but coming up on the 17th of May, we will be allowed indoors. And you've got something very exciting to let us know about what's opening in June.
Yes, yes, we are opening a new site, which is just around the corner from our original site, the Coal Shed on Boysey Street. We took over what was formerly known as the Coach House in Middle Street, right next door to the Hippodrome. That came on the market a few years ago, and sod's law, sorry, we took that over in January 2020, you know, weeks before lockdown. And of course, we were sat on it for quite a while. And at one point, we were like, you know, are we going to go ahead with this when the world was getting, you know, very gloomy? But in the third lockdown in December, we decided, you know what, when things are going to reopen, it's going to go boom. So we said, right, we're going to go for it. We're going to roll the dice and, you know, and hope we're going to get double six. Here we are, you know, six months down the line. What I love about it is you've got to wear so many different hats. You know, you get to be the interior designer, that you can design these beautiful places, and you can, you know, you've got to be quite creative with the food, you know, but you've got to have your numbers head on as well at the same time. You've got to be good at managing people, which, you know, can be a challenge at times. So there's lots of different areas which I like. It's not just one thing. And I think it's you know, you're dealing with people. You know, I think I'm quite a social character. I like being around people. I'm pretty outgoing. And, you know, and I think, you know, what better than being around food and drink, you know?
What better? No. It's been the strangest of times. And I mean, you were no stranger, Raz, to providing hospitality to us, because you brought us the Coal Shed, you brought us the Salt Room, and you know just how devastating it's been, the fact that you've had to sort of close doors or modify your food offerings. How would you describe the roller coaster of the year for you?
You can safely say this is the scariest thing that I think as a business person you can go through, because you went through such uncertainty that you just didn't know how long it was going to last, you know, how if businesses were going to reopen, what help you were going to give. I mean, you know, at one point we thought we'd lost everything. That's it, you know. And to have to close, you know, your restaurants, you know, we've never closed. The only times we've closed our restaurants is for a staff party, you know, but in 10 years that we've been going, you know, it's we've been open 7 days a week, and you know, we closed literally Christmas Day and Boxing Day. So we trade 363 days of the year. And then that was it. We were closed for, you know, 4 or 5 months and not knowing what was going to go, what was going to happen. It was very, very tragic. But luckily, you know, we've managed to get involved. We started a coal shed at home, you know, after a few weeks. I'm not very good at sitting at home. So, you know, we knew we had lots of great producers and suppliers that all, you know, their supply chain was stopped overnight as well. And I knew, you know, people were going to be spending a lot of time at home. So, yeah, we just started doing the coal shed at home. And, you know, that kept us very, very busy for the first lockdown. And it was amazing that the support that we had by all the local, all our local loyal customers that were supporting us, you know, it gave you something to look forward to. And, you know, it just made you realize why you do this job is, you know, so
yeah.
That was, I think that was our saving grace. Because I think without that, I think, you know, potentially, like a lot of people, you know, could have got into a real dark space in your head, which obviously that's not what you want, is it? You
know, no. It was just incredible, I think, how restaurateurs and publicans became so inventive about looking at, well, how do we provide hospitality to people who would normally be our customers coming into our premises? So you've been able to go out to homes instead with delicious food. And it's been quite a phenomenon, hasn't it? This whole thing.
It did, you know. And We worked with Brighton Taxis as well, because we didn't want to go down the route of working with Deliveroo or Uber Eats or whatever, who are these massive companies that they just charge extortionate rates. You know, they take some, you know, up to about 35% of your money. So, you know, for every £10, they take £3.50. So you can imagine, you know, the margins there are absolutely zero.
Yeah,
we knew that. Brighton, that nobody was getting taxis, so we decided set up a thing with Brighton Taxis. So all our deliveries were being delivered by the local, and you know, that for some of those it was their, you know, it was a difference between earning something and earning nothing. And actually, it turned out that they did really well out of it, because you know it became so popular, and you know, eventually started with 1, 2, 3, then 4 taxis, and you know, they're almost working full time for us doing the deliveries. And I think that was really lovely. That was, you know, a sense of everyone really coming together and really helping each other out. You know,
Yeah. We're
helping the suppliers, we're still giving their food, you know, the chefs were getting in there cooking and getting it out to people that didn't want to go shopping, delivery drivers, the taxi drivers out. And it was actually, you know, I enjoyed it, because it just felt like you're doing something, you know, rather than just sitting home and, you know, just getting worried, really.
Do you feel now coming through this? I mean, people have described it really warlike, you know, sort of living. Would you say that this sort of joint up thinking as part of the community, is this something that you really want to sustain moving forward?
100%. You know, I think it just goes to show what human beings can be like and what we can do when we put our hearts and minds to it.
Yeah. And you are going to be working really with the taxi companies continuing on, because people will be able to come into your premises and they will need a taxi home if you've been doing a good job of giving them beautiful cocktails.
Well,
you're sort of spreading yourself out now. So we have the salt room, which is all about the seafood. And we have the coal shed, which is all about the meat. And Burnt Orange is your latest creation. Tell us about Burnt Orange and why you have you have this third offering for us in Brighton and Hove.
It came up with the coal shed originally. The original coal shed in Boysey Street is a tiny 50 cover split on, you know, numerous floors, and it just doesn't have a bar area. So especially in winter time, when, you know, customers tend to arrive a little bit earlier, or often harder to get to leave the table because it's not such a beautiful day. we always have to send our customers around the corner to go and have a drink whilst they're waiting for their table. So when the Coach House came on the market, we thought, wow, this could be an amazing sort of a bar feeder to the Coal Shed, because since this place doesn't have a bar, but obviously during lockdown, when, you know, I had a bit more time to kind of re-look at the business model, I worked out that just a drinking only establishment, or originally it was going to be a cocktail bar,
mm-hmm.
but I think we kind of worked out that just, you know, a cocktail bar was only going to work, you know, four nights of the week, and then the other lunchtimes and daytime and the evenings, you know, it was going to be sat empty. So we thought we'd design it to make it drinks and food, but somewhere realistically that it's, you know, I think somewhere it's meant to sit in between a bar and a restaurant. The idea kind of evolved that when me and my wife want to go out, sometimes I think we kind of, you know, I'm in my sort of late 40s, and now I feel the option for us is either we go to the pub, which is one option, or there's the restaurants. You know, occasionally we might go to the theatre, but that's really, really, really occasionally. And obviously my clubbing days are probably not as I'll probably be a little bit behind me. So this is kind of meant to, but you still want to go and have a night out.
Of course you do. And you still want to feel, yeah, that you're in the zone. Maybe get up and dance if you want to.
You want to socialise, but I don't really want to go down to the pub. You know, the girls want to get dressed up, and sometimes I don't want to go and have a three-course dinner.
Yes, you know, yes.
So hopefully this is meant to sit somewhere in between those. You know, it's meant to blur the lines between what a bar and a restaurant is. So somewhere that you can come, very social, very buzzy, lots of great cocktails. So we're putting a lot of effort into developing some really fun, really great tasting cocktails, just really well made adult drinks that we can just enjoy. Fantastic wine collection that isn't gonna be just pages and pages of it, you know, and a nice price point that, you know, you can try lots by the glass. And then of course we want to have lots of little hand food and sort of snacks, and I don't want to call it tapas, you don't want to call it meze, but that kind of style of just grazing and picking food, and whilst you're food that's paired to go with drinking, really. You know, that's nice. The best way.
No, I love the sound of that. And it sort of has a happy sound to it. You know, that, as you said, a night out, you know, for fun, for leisure, getting together, dressing up a little bit, but still in a sort of a casual setting. And this whole idea about, you know, sort of having tasty dishes, but not that three-course meal, which is so lovely. No. I was in India early last year, and I went to the Soho Club in Mumbai, and it was
lovely.
Amazing. So you
was
had
that for her house there?
Yes, it was incredible.
Oh.
And
oh, wow.
I sort of in my head, I don't know if that's what you're creating, but it was the sort of thing, you know, to me, there was music, there was great drinks, incredible atmosphere, and really tasty food if you want it, but you didn't have to have it. But it was such a wonderful buzz.
I mean, that sounds incredible. If we can get anywhere close to that, I think we'd be over the moon, because, you know, we know how, you know, Soho House is obviously a huge global brand, and, you know, they certainly work at a very high level. And I think for a lot of people, they're very aspirational. You know, it's all about that atmosphere, the four pillars of the atmosphere, the service, the food and the drink, you know, so it's very much about all of those four bits. It's only, you know, it's not the largest of spaces, but I think that's where it's going to give it the nice to see inside. And then it's got that lovely cute courtyard as well.
What a good place to be. Don't believe it. Just think it. not a good place to be. Don't believe I have. What a good place to be. Don't believe I speak a different language and it's never really happened to me. Don't believe I have, oh no, cause it's never been happy for me. Don't believe I, 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 don't believe I,
The House Martins here on the Food and Drink Show on Radio Reverb. We're in conversation with Raz Halalat, hearing all about the new restaurant opening in June called Burnt Orange. Raz has mentioned the four pillars that are key in a successful restaurant. And we're coming to the fourth pillar. Now, the House Martins is a bit of a clue. There's one of the House Martins, or ex-House Martins, as it is now, has got something to do with this fourth pillar. Let's hear more from Raz. Tell me that, you know, that fourth pillar, which is about the music, which helps to create the ambience. So what's going to be different about your music offering?
Well, we have kindly spoken to the one and only Mr. Norman Cook, aka Fat Boy Slim, who will be helping us curate the music playlist for Burnt Orange. So it's something that, you know, he's going to be doing a bit similar to, you know, you can imagine his private record collection. And it's not going to be dancing, but, you know, it's going to be certainly something that hopefully you'll be nodding your head to. And, you know, kind of hopefully there'll be a lot of people go, oh, my God, I remember this. Or hopefully they'll be going to their phone to Shazam it as well. But yes, I think the music will be a big part of this, you know, without sounding it, making it sound like a nightclub. But, yeah, it's hopefully it'll be carefully crafted rather than just your sort of background music.
I'm liking the sound of that. But no dancing on the tables. Or certainly not when you're there.
Never say never.
Never say never. Okay, well, I might hold you to
maybe
that.
Maybe on the bar instead.
Now, you know, the Salt Room has such a lovely strength to the simplicity of the name, the Coal Shed. And then you've created Burnt Orange. Now, how did that name come about?
That came about. Burnt orange is when you're burning the oranges for your cocktails. That's kind of where that's originally when we first started thinking of it as just a cocktail bar, and, you know, the burning the oranges for your, I think, is it Cosmopolitan, is it, that you make? And
that's right.
So that's where it kind of came from. And then we're kind of known for cooking on fire with the Coal Shed and the Salt Room. So the burn side, again, was kind of, and over here we're going to be, we've got a wood-burning oven and a wood-burning Japanese Rabata grill. So a lot of the food is going to be cooked on over fire again. So burning still refers to fire aspect. And then the orange is, again, we're kind of using the Mediterranean as our kind of influence of styles of food. And oranges are kind of obviously quite synonymous with, you know, that kind of part of the world as well. So hopefully, you know, that's kind of where the idea comes from. I hope that makes sense.
It does. It all comes together beautifully. And I can, you know, sort of, I'm excited to be walking in your doors because I have conjured up a picture in my head. Of course, you're still sort of slapping the paint and getting it all ready because the doors are not open yet. Tell us.
Indeed. It's weird. I'm the perfectionist at heart and just doing things until it's right. And, you know, I just don't want to compromise it, really. So the problem is it's been it's a very old building, which parts of it date back to, you know, 1700s, I think. It was a former coach house, you know, back in the days. I think somebody actually said it was a coach house where they used to take the dead or whatever, but let's hope that's not good.
Well, we might have one cocktail too many now, and we might have to get carted out of there, Ras.
Oh, very good, very good. I like that one. I'll have to use that one. but unfortunately, the building was in a very, very, very poor state. It had not had any love for decades and decades. And what it had done previously had been done to a very poor standard. And unfortunately, me being the person that I am, had decided to basically rebuild the structure almost pretty much rather than refurbish it. So hence why it's taken so much more longer. But fingers crossed, we're getting towards the end now, probably the last 2-3 weeks now, and then we can start slowly getting the staff in there, start finding our way around that place, and then hopefully we can open up in mid June, but we still haven't confirmed anything yet. But hopefully mid June is when we'll be opening the doors to the public, or certainly for the soft launch.
So for people to keep a check so that they can, you know, book a table, and you've got a good flexible hours, and you're open till 1 a.m. over the weekend nights, I believe. Tell us, what's the best thing for our listeners to do if they want to get in touch with you and book tables?
The best thing to do is to join the sign up to the mailing list, which is on the website, and you sign up to the newsletter. And that's generally how we'll be announcing and saying we're live for bookings, and, you know, via that and via social media. So we're just trying to create the community. And I tell you what, it's been an amazing reaction that we've had, just simply from the little feed, from the little trickles that we have gone through from the coal shed and the salt room.
So, you know, Ras, I really wish you all the very best with Burnt Orange. It's going to be very exciting. And you know what? I think it's even more exciting that you're opening this venture, you know, just as we have come out of lockdown, where we can all socialise again. And I think there's a hunger, isn't there? And a thirst for everybody to go out and to have a good time, and be able to mix with others as well. So I really am excited for your opening and look forward to my first cocktail. Burnt Orange.
We look forward to opening our doors and to welcoming you very soon.
Great.
Very, very soon.
Used to spend my nights out in barroom. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom and brought me back, being too far gone. Whiskey, you're as sweet as strawberry wine, you're as warm as a glass of brandy, and honey, I stay stoned. Thank you.
didn't waste it. Cause there's nothing like your love to get me high. Whiskey, you're as sweet as strawberry wine, you're as warm as a glass of brandy, and honey, I stay stoned.
You are listening to The Food and Drink Show with myself, Karen Morton, here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB. And you can listen to us online or indeed on a podcast, wherever you like to get your podcasts from. Now, we have been talking picnics. We've also been talking about dining out. And now we're going to go into the kitchen. And I wanted to give you or share with you a recipe that I used to make a lot in my kitchen. And then, I don't know, you know, you kind of find new things and you forget about some of your favourites. And I was reminded recently of a pizza recipe, and I've been trying to cut down on bread. And I said, where's that recipe gone that my mum gave me that I made for a number of years, couldn't find? And I'm so happy to say that in my mum's handwriting, I have found that perfect pizza recipe, which I am going to be cooking up to entertain with my guests al fresco. So if you have a pen and paper ready, I'm going to give you this very simple recipe. And trust me, if you serve this up with a salad, you're going to get a lot of smiling faces around your table. And it's a potato-based pizza. Now, the recipe that I'm going to give you serves four people. And as my mum has written on it, it's very good. And it really is. It's quick and it's easy pizza with the potato base. And it just makes an interesting change. And if you're trying to cut down on the breads, this is a really good one for you. Now, you can serve it warm or you can serve it cold. It's equally good, whichever way you have it. What you will need for the base is 225 grams of boiled potatoes. Skins on gives you lots of fibre. You're going to need 50 grams of margarine or butter, 110 grams of self-raising flour, salt and freshly milled black pepper. And for the topping, you're going to need some grated mature cheese. Well, it's up to you if you have other types of cheese that you'd rather have. I kind of go thinly sliced, about 175 grams. You're going to need 225 grams of onions, thinly sliced, one red pepper, thinly sliced, one clove of garlic crushed. And if you like me, I love mushrooms, so I'm going to add some mushrooms into mine. You'll need some olive oil, and you're going to need 2 teaspoons of red wine vinegar. You are going to need half a level tablespoon of oregano, 2 tablespoons of tomato puree, salt, and freshly milled black pepper. Now, what you're going to do is preheat your oven to gas mark 6 or 400 degrees Fahrenheit, and you will need an oiled baking tray. So first of all, you boil the potatoes until they're soft and then mash them to a pulp with the butter. Sort of sift in the flour and add a little salt and freshly milled black pepper. Now you mix it to a dough, and when you've done that, you transfer it onto the floured surface and knead it lightly until the mixture becomes soft and elastic. Roll it out to about 10 inches, and that's 30 centimetres round, and place this on the oiled baking sheet. Now, the next thing you're going to do is heat the olive oil in a large frying pan, and then you're going to fry up your onions, red peppers, garlic for about 5 minutes. After that, stir in the mushrooms, the vinegar, the oregano, and seasoning of salt and, of course, freshly milled black pepper. Then, when you've done that, spread the tomato puree all over the pizza base, and then top with the onions and pepper mixture, and then finally place the slices of cheese all over. Bake the pizza on a high shelf in the oven for about 40 minutes. Now, have a look after about 30 minutes, okay, just to see how it's browning on top. And if you want to, if you can cover it with foil if it looks too brown, and give it an extra 10 minutes. And as I said, serve hot or cold. It seriously is delicious. Honestly, it is so good. So let me know how you get on with trying this. But believe me, if you're entertaining, it's so simple. It's really affordable, and it's delicious served with a lovely big side salad. And hey, a nice bottle of chilled white wine. Or if you want to, go for a nice red. So that's my recipe for the show this week. It is honestly, it's so good. Potato-based pizza. So that is all we have time for on the Food and Drink Show today. I hope that you have enjoyed it. And however you're going to spend the summer months, let's keep our fingers crossed that the weather is going to be glorious for us in the coming months, and that we enjoy dining out and dining in, and dining in and out of restaurants and bars as well. So from myself, Karen Morton, here on the Food and Drink Show at Radio Reverb, see you next time.
I want a Sunday kind of love, a love to last past Saturday night, and I'd like to know it's more than love at first sight. And I want a Sunday kind of love. Oh, yeah, yeah. I want a love that's on the square.